that I told good morning. Well, it's morning somewhere, you know. But anyway, it's kind of one of those days, you know. You get into a routine, go downstairs, you have class, and in your head, it's morning. I don't care, it's morning. But anyway, we are going to, obviously this is a day, a different day with different schedule, etc. So we're going to dispense with the lessons that we normally would have done today. Would have had a lesson on the theme this morning. Wes and I would have debated this afternoon. We'll resume all of that next Sunday morning. But I would like for you to be turning, if you will, to Psalm 118. And when I got out this morning, probably like a whole lot of you, beautiful, bright sunshine, and looking at all that snow with a shovel in my hand, I began to think about different things. And one of the things that I was thinking about was this passage in Psalm 118, and we'll get there in just a moment. I want to welcome everybody who's here. I don't know if we have visitors, but if you are here, we're glad you're here. And we want you to come back and want to be with us often. I hope we make you feel welcome. And if you will, locate a visitor's card probably just in front of you and fill that out for us. You know, on any given day, I suspect that there is a lot to be, and I'll use the word disgruntled, a lot to be disgruntled about, really every day. I mean, you could look around you and you can see, and some of the things that have been mentioned already this morning. Bob mentioned that tragic event down in Florida. Too many of those, way too many of those. I think we all agree with that. We feel for people. Can't imagine. Been asked, I don't know how many times, you know, about the parents of the children, the young people, you know, that kind of thing. Can't imagine. Thankfully to God, I've never had to live through that. So, but I understand the idea of worry. I understand the idea of anger. And there are serious things like that to be disgruntled about. There are plenty of other things. We could find, you know, you might have gotten up this morning and looked at several inches of snow piled up and, you know, took that shovel in hand and been disgruntled about it. Not how I wanted to spend a Sunday morning or whatever. Maybe it is that, you know, there are problems at work. And, you know, people you don't get along with, people you don't like, you know, that you have to work with. Maybe it's been a week like it has been for me and my family, where there are problems going on in the family. Somebody has done something and it's a serious matter and you get all caught up in that and different people worrying and wanting to talk and hours are spent with that. And honestly, no matter the gamut of emotions you feel, partly you feel disgruntled. It's not how I wanted to spend my evening or my day or whatever it might be. Maybe there are situations with friends, and when you have friends and you're close to people, you clash sometimes. And when you do, you just, you know, you're tired. You get tired of it. I don't want to fight with people. I don't want to fuss with people, etc. Maybe it's any and all of those things, and it has been for you as well. And you walk outside and, you know, like I said this morning, and you got your shovel and you know that there's, you know, good hours work ahead of you. And then you kind of breathe in that fresh air and look at all the beauty. And, you know, snow is beautiful. I mean, it gets nasty when they start plowing it and everything, but it's beautiful. And it reminds us of all the intricacies of God's creation. And you just take a moment. You know, you take a breath, you take a moment, and you begin to think. And I want to talk a little bit about that. And my idea is not to keep you very long because I want all of you to be able to get home safe and sound before it's dark, so I'm not going to try to preach a long lesson. But I want you to look at Psalm 118 for me. We're not going to look at every verse. But it is a song of thanksgiving, and if you have a heading in your Bible, more than likely it's talking about or it heads this psalm. We're not sure who wrote it. David probably, but not sure of that. But it is thanking the Lord for His salvation. But if you read down through the psalm, you realize that it is not just that eternal salvation that the psalmist is talking about, but it's more than that. It is, as we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, the idea of a life that is a righteous life, a life that is lived for God, that has, to quote Paul from 1 Timothy 4, the promise of the life that now is and of the life to come. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. He begins this psalm in verse 1, for He is good, and because His mercy endures forever. Now, like I say, all those things that I ran through a moment ago, there may be times, and if you're human, you probably have felt at times, I'm not sure how merciful God is being to me. I'm going through this, or I'm going through that, and perhaps I'm going through three or four things all at once. And I don't feel that. And I think that's why there are these psalms. I would, you know, Wes was talking about last Sunday morning in many respects. He was talking about habits that you form, good habits, you know, sometimes bad habits, but good habits, things you make time for, things you take time. I would get you to try to form a habit of referring back to these psalms, not just this one, but so many of them, when things are not going well in your life. Now, that's a habit that many, many Christians have. But have you ever stopped to think of the themes that are concurrent throughout all of the Psalms? God is merciful. God is good. Thank God. Praise God. Remember that the Lord remembers you. How many times do the Psalms tell you that over and over and over? And there's a reason for that. Because you do get disgruntled, my word for the day. You do get upset, and you do forget. So one of the things that I want to emphasize tonight in a very simple fashion is take time to be thankful. I got a text from my mother, who will probably go online and listen to this sermon at some point in the next few weeks. But I got a text from my mother, and she was telling me, you know, giving advice to her little boy, like she should, but she was saying, we should find at least one thing every day. The first thing we do, we should find at least one thing to know, to emphasize we've been blessed by God and be thankful for it. And I said, amen, we should. That's exactly what we should do. Don't always do that. Sometimes we hit the ground running. Sometimes maybe more times than I'd like, I get awakened. Whatever the word is, somebody wakes me up, you know, with some problem. And texting me some problem and immediately just have to launch right into that. Not the way I want to start my day. But she's right. I should make it a practice. I should get in the habit of beginning my day the way David begins so many of these psalms, or the psalmist, plural, begins so many of them. Give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks. Oh, be thankful. Notice the previous Psalm 117, oh, praise the Lord, all you nations. I mean, we should take that time. We should make that time. And we should do it to the point that it is something that's common. Hold your finger here, flip over with me. And I'm going to flip to the New Testament about three or four times, but always come right back here. But go with me to Ephesians 1. Now, this is a passage you'll know very well. But in Ephesians 1, I thought about this week, and I thought about it again this morning as I was shoveling snow. I memorized this passage when I was about, 18, 19 years old. I memorized Ephesians 1. And I did it because the teacher assigned us to do that. But it stays with you when you remember Scripture like that, or memorize Scripture. But look at verse 3 and remember this passage. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Something Juliet said the other night when she came in, and something had gone right during the day and worked out well at her job, and something she said, I'm a child of God, and so. And that's exactly right. God blesses us if we are His child. And you'll notice the emphasis here. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And then He begins to talk about the fact that God planned all of this. You know, my life, it may seem like, and your life may seem like, it's just a bunch of haphazard events that kind of run together. Some good, some not so good, things to be upset about, etc. But to know that, and I'm not talking about predestination here. I'm just talking about the fact that God planned for all His children, for all of us, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You know, that's a blessing, isn't it? I think about my life, and I share a lot of that with you. And things haunt me, and I mean that literally. I sit alone late at night trying to go to sleep, and I think back on things I did years, decades ago. I hurt people. I did mean things. And it haunts me. And yet, God provided, before the world ever existed, certainly long before Michael White ever existed, God provided that I should be holy and without blame before Him. And He did that through Jesus. And I love this passage, verse 5. I'm going to read it. Having predestinated all of us, not just me, but all of us, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And then especially verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace or favor, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. I can remember being that kid in school. I can remember being that kid that people avoided. I can remember being that kid that people didn't want to be around. And for good reason. I wouldn't want to be around me then. You know? I can remember that. And I remember when I became a Christian and I finally ran across this passage. And I don't know how many weeks or months it was, but I read that. And that word accepted jumped off the page at me. I'm accepted. No one is going to reject me in heaven. God accepts me. For all the things that I've done and for all the things that I've been forgiven for now because I'm a Christian, I'm accepted. When I go back to Psalm 118 and I listen, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." How good is God to forgive us? How good is God to say, "Yeah, you did this vile, mean, despicable thing, but I gave my Son to die for you, and because He did, I'm going to take it away and I won't remember it against you ever again." How good is God to do that? We think about people down here on earth and people that are good people, and sometimes people have reasonable things against us. I mean, we've let them down, we've hurt them. And sometimes it's very difficult for those people, our friends, our family, whomever, to forgive us. How good is God to forgive, forget, and consider us without blame? I look up at heaven sometimes and I pray and I say, "God, I know that You believe me to be blameless, but I don't feel that." David says, or the psalmist says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." And then he begins to go through a number of verses here, and I just want to look at a few of them. But he says, "Because His mercy endures forever." I want you to drop down with me, if you will, to verse 5, and let's read a couple of verses. "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me, and He set me in a large place." And that's the idea of a rich place, a good place. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord takes my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." When I read that passage and I think about this passage in context of this week, okay? And I want you to understand that. There are a lot of things that are running through me. There are a lot of emotions that I have. It's been a very, very emotional week. Both from people that are close to me and also people that I don't even know, like the situation down in Florida. But when I read this passage, I think about the fact that we are in distress sometimes. And you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I might come to you and I might say, "This is what I'm going through." And you might say, "Oh, well, that's nothing because so-and-so is going through whatever they're going through." Does that really matter? I mean, because whatever I'm going through, I'm going through it. Whatever I feel, I feel. The distress I have is the distress I have. And the psalmist is emphasizing, "I call upon the Lord in distress and He answers me. He's on my side. He's right beside me. He even comes to help me through other people, and I see it."
And then he finally says, notice down in verses 8 and 9 again, it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. Because when you put your confidence in men, people, they are going to let you down. When you put your confidence in government, it is going to let you down. Because you know what? Government, after all, I don't care if it's, you know, law officials, if it's people in the Justice Department, if it's the President of the United States, they're still people. And they're going to let you down. And the one that you can turn to and be absolutely assured he will never let you down is God. And that's what he's saying in this song. Give thanks unto the Lord because he's always there. He is always by my side. I want to drop down to verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. Now, I don't think the psalmist really just means here my salvation in the sense that we think about, you know, believe and be baptized and I'm saved. I think he means salvation in every respect of life. And I think if you read the context and really study it, you're seeing that. But the Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. Notice as he goes on here, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is the tabernacle, is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord, notice the phrase, doeth valiantly. And then he comes back and says it again in verse 16. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. This word valiant, it means strength. It really means the Lord does what he does powerfully, like no other one can do. Sometimes things, and I want you to think about this, I want you to think about your own life for a moment. Have you ever gotten to a point in life, a good place, and looked back, and maybe it was, you know, I met Montel and fell in love, okay? And you look back over a series of events, weird how we got here. You ever thought about that? I mean, anything ever happened to you that was really, really good and you couldn't have dreamed up the scenario to get to that point if you tried? The Lord is powerful. He knows. He's there. He orchestrates things. He helps things. Old person, the cynic might say, well, then why does he let this happen and why does he let that happen? The nature of this world is pain. It's hurt. It's sin. And we could talk for the next hour, and I'm not, about all the reasons why bad things happen. But if it's bad, it ain't because God wants it to happen. God is good. God is there for me. And that's what the psalmist is saying. And he speaks of different scenarios in his life. Again, hold your finger there. And just go read with me a passage that was emphasized here just recently. I think Wes did this, but somebody did. Look at Hebrews 13 and read verses 5 and 6 with me very quickly. Let your conversation, your manner of life, be without covetousness. That is the idea of always desiring what somebody else has. And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So we may confidently then say this, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Think about what he's saying there. You don't need to wish to be somebody else. And you don't need to wish to have something that somebody else has. God has a plan for you. God is there for you. God is on your side. The Lord is going to always be right there, and the Lord is always going to see to it that you have exactly what you need to have in your life. We could talk about providence tonight. That is providence. That is the care that God gives where he gives me what I need. And I think no matter what you're doing, some mundane task like shoveling snow this morning, you think through those things and you think about that. Why am I here? Why has life been like it's been? Because God was there for me. I don't need somebody else's life. And I really don't need somebody else's blessings. I just need God to be what God promises to be, and that's always there for me.
Let me close by emphasizing a verse that kept running through my head all morning. You know, gone through this week, and sometimes you might reach the end of a day and there have been problems. And you say to yourself, boy, this has not been a good day. I've said that. I've said it this week. And then maybe you're shoveling snow like I was this morning, and I'm trying to be in a lot better shape, and you guys know that, but I'm not in great shape, you know. I'm just trying to be. And so after about, 45 minutes or so, my back was hurting, and I'm thinking, whew, you know, maybe 4 inches instead of this, you know, whatever. I kept thinking about this verse. And so I want you to look with me at verse 24. And I want to send you home with this verse. That's what I hope to do. This is the day. Today. This is the day in which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Kevin read the verse in Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord. Again I say, rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I could ask for a show of hands, but I would suspect that many people gathered here this afternoon, this evening, somewhere in your house or in some relative's house or friend's house at least, somebody has a plaque with Psalm 118, verse 24. Maybe it's under some beautiful picture or whatever. This is the day in which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Because you see, as you read through that psalm, and even way more verses than I read tonight, there are so many reasons to rejoice. So many reasons to be glad. In this day, right here today, so many things to thank the Lord for. So many ways, so many situations that I look back on that God has brought me through those. Maybe they were terrible things. Maybe I did terrible things. And yet God was still there for me. So many reasons to give thanks to the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. You believe that Jesus is the Lord. You believe He's the Son of God. You want to thank Him by acknowledging your belief in Him. Also, you want to be grateful to Him by being willing to change your life, to repent. Be baptized to have your sins washed away so that you stand in that position we were talking about. Or maybe it is that you've done all that and still your life is not where you want it to be and you just want to say, you know, I need to get stronger. I need to be more thankful. I want you to pray for me that I get to where I need to be. If you need to come, please come while we stand and sing.